Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen, coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody, just got a little bit of goosebumps starting the show early today. Boy, I'm kind of excited. We've got a fun show for you today. We've got Hollywood sound engineer Perry Robertson. We're going to be listening to an interview I did over the weekend with him. And Perry was scheduled to be my guest live later tonight. However, I'm invited to go see a friend of mine receive an Entrepreneur of the Year award in Los Angeles a little bit later. And it just didn't work. So Perry was so kind to be able to be available over the weekend and do, take time out of his busy schedule to visit with us. So Perry has also been on the show before as a guest as part of the Friday Night Dance Party with his band Kelly's Lot. Remember Kelly Zerba? She's been on the show a couple of different times. The last album we played was called Don't Take My Blues Away, and we're going to play a couple of those songs this morning just to kind of kick things off just a tiny little bit to get you motivated up and moving a little bit for the day. And we'll jump into Perry's interview in just a few minutes. But if you are looking for or want to hear what the inside scoop is on why your movies and TV sound so great, Perry's interview today I think is really going to be fun for you, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed talking to this greatly talented man. Programming notes, just kind of like let people know where we're going for the rest of the week. That means tomorrow, Friday. On the Friday Night Dance Party, we've got Carmen Lundy. She is a beautiful jazz artist, and she's going to be on an early edition of the Friday Night Dance Party at 5 p.m. That's Friday the 13th. Carmen Lundy is going to be live with us talking about her new album, and that's always an hour one. The Friday Night Dance Party has kind of turned into this accelerated behind the music, and then we get to the artist music itself, which is really kind of fun. And our friends on Chat and Spin Radio and Westar Radio in the UK, which also broadcast the episode, really like the new format that we're using for that. So hopefully you're enjoying it as well. Next week, just to give you some VIP information on what's going to be coming on from a guest standpoint, we've got Kara Brooks. She's been on the show before. She's an award-winning author. She's got another book out. And the woman is just a magical miracle to this world. And I don't know if we're going to really go down that whole path of why, I just fawn over her every time I get a chance to visit with her. But she's a fantastic author, coming back on to talk about one of her new books. Tuesday, you've seen the movie Twilight. You've seen a bunch of movies with this guy in it. But Rick Mora from Los Angeles, he is a busy, busy actor. And we're going to be doing Mary Lou is going to be on talking about her takeover from Brisbane, Australia. So Mary Lou is going to be on interviewing Rick Mora from L.A. So that will be fun. Next Wednesday, we have Rebecca Fisk, Intuitive Psychic. She'll be back on. And then next Friday for the Friday Night Dance Party, we're going to let Mary Lou come back twice in the same week. This is great. But we have a really talented musician by the name of Keir Buchanan. And when we set this up a while back, Keir sent me all of his CDs along the way, and they were just things that you could just like crank up, more instrumental, more jazzy, more that type of music, but it was something that you could blast throughout the whole house and just really enjoy having that on while you're running around cooking, doing laundry, picking up after the kids, whatever the case may be. But again, here is some music by Kelly's Lot, and then we're going to get to Perry's interview in just a couple of minutes. So sit back and relax and enjoy this next hour of Rated G Radio.
never change. And life's too short. Never change. And life's too short. Stay out of the rain, out of the
nobody gonna hurt me again.
Perry Robertson joining us, and you may remember Perry as a guest on the show on a Friday night dance party in the past year or so with his lovely wife Kelly, who is part of Kelly's Lot, and they play this great blues music that plays all over Southern California, and they go all over the world playing music to sold-out crowds that just freak out when they hear the magical sounds that were on there. And Perry's been on talking a little bit about the music, but he also has this fantastic, I want to say side career. He has a real job in the movie industry, and he's agreed to come on the show today to talk about that and everything else that's going on in his world. So, Perry, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Garrett.
So we're actually doing this as a little pre-record, and I don't make any, you know, secrets that when we do a pre-record that it's, you know, magically live or something like this, but it's a beautiful Saturday morning when we're talking. You're up at your fantastic place up north, and I'm down here in Huntington Beach. So how's your week been?
Oh, week has been great. We, just got through finishing up a couple of projects, and you know, Kelly and I, we actually just got a new house up at Hollywood Beach, and you know, we're just enjoying the beautiful Southern California winter.
You got, yeah, exactly. As we're, you know, I'm sitting here in a tank top and shorts, and you're probably the same up there, and the rest of the country is
exactly
sitting here frozen, so we're very, very, very grateful. So, Perry, tell me about this day job thing that you've had for a hot minute.
Okay, well, I'm a sound supervisor for movies and television shows, and basically what that is I have a company called Ear Candy, and we've been doing... We do all the sound that you hear on the TV shows and the movies, which basically is once the picture editor has gone through the picture, pretty much got it into shape where he wants it, then they will turn it over to us, and we will go through all the dialogue, try to make the dialogue as clean as possible so everybody can understand it. We will go in and do ADR if we need to fix lines or add lines that weren't recorded on location. And ADR is they go into basically a recording studio and replace lines. Or like if it was a Western or something like that, you don't want to hear planes going over, so if we can't get rid of it, then we'll go in and re-record the actor doing the lines, sometimes exactly as he did it, and sometimes the director will want different types of readings, different,
oh sure,
you know, different inflections, different words. So we do that, and then we're also in charge of. We also add in all the sound effects, all of the backgrounds. And then we do a thing called Foley, which is a lot of the money these days are made in foreign sales. So every time we do a movie, we have to do what they call an M and E, and the M and E is music and effects mix. So we have to have every single footstep, every movement, whatever has to be recreated. And so that when it goes to a foreign country and they're putting in a foreign language, all they have to do is record, hopefully,
the idea is
just go in and record the voice.
Yeah.
Record the dialogue, and the rest of it's as close as we can get it to what was done here in the States, and or the English version, and then I supervise the overall mix also. So I sit there with the director and anyway, go ahead.
You're a sound editor, a supervising sound editor. You've done this for a long time. Did you go to like junior high, or were you, tell me about your childhood. What influenced you to say, you know what, when I grow up, I'm going to do this? Because honestly, I've never heard of this job, and yet it's been one of the most important roles in TV and film for 100 years now. And we take for granted, I think, the role that you perform in making sure that we've got great music or great sound that comes out of the TV or the motion pictures when we go to the Cineplex on the weekend.
Right. Well, to be honest with you, I didn't know anything about it either. I grew up in a very small West Texas town. My dad was a Methodist minister, and so I would do the sound for the church services and that kind of stuff, you know. And like everybody else, I had a band in high school and stuff like that. So I started learning stuff through that, and then I got involved in drama when I was in high school, kind of accidentally. We moved to this small town, and they thought I was my brother, who had been acting in plays and stuff like that in Lubbock, where we had moved from. And so they invited me to be part of their drama class and everything. And I ended up, first time I ever tried out for something, I ended up being in Romeo and Juliet, which kind of cracked me up. But
wow, that's a nice little entry.
Yeah, but it was great. I learned a lot about everything from Shakespeare, and it sounds strange to hear some people from West Texas doing Shakespeare, but we won several awards. And anyway, I had a great drama coach and a really good bunch of teachers at high school, but I was trying to decide what to do, after high school, and my drama coach says you should probably, maybe you should go be a recording engineer or something. And so my dad, who is always really supportive of everything, or still is supportive of everything I do, went out and got all these pamphlets from, University of Texas and SMU, and even a couple of some of the recording schools that you hear of, that are out there these days. There was a couple of those around. So I went and visited, and I went to university. I thought I was going to go to University of Texas, and I really didn't want to go to college to, I wasn't that studious of a guy.
Right.
It's
smart of you to recognize that at the time, though, because a lot of people are like, well, I'll just buckle through it and it's miserable.
Right. And so University of Texas says, we'd love to have you, but, you can't touch any equipment until you're a junior or senior. And I'm like, well why am I going to, I'm wasting time there. So the people, a gentleman who became a good friend, his name was Ted Gardner, years ago, was the head of the sound department at SMU, or part of the film TV. And he said, as soon as you walk in that door, you can start playing with the gear. And so I was like, okay, that's where I'm going. It made my dad very happy, because that's where he had gone to school, and that I'd actually decided I would actually go to school and not be a truck driver or something,
Oh, my gosh.
First or second semester, Ted Gardner, he gave me an internship, or sent me to an internship, and it was at a recording studio. And I'm thinking, oh, man, this is going to be the coolest thing ever. And I went, and I'm like, I don't like this at all.
Really?
It's the funniest thing for me to say that, but I didn't enjoy it, and I was really upset, because that's what I thought I wanted to do,
Right.
So went back to this the counselors at the school, and I was really upset. I really didn't know what to do then. And he said, "Don't worry, I've got this other thing for you, and it's at a post-production sound company. And I'm like, well, what is that?
Right.
And I went, and this was still when post-production was on film, way before, you know, everything was on tape and before it was on computers and all that stuff. And says, you know, go try this out. And I met one of my very, very best friends in the world, a guy named Gary French. Gary started teaching me about it, and within, that was, that was the first semester of my sophomore year. From September to October, I went from not even knowing what a place like post-production was, I went from that to working full-time in the back room to and going to school full-time, and just by the second semester, I was mixing everybody's student films, and
wow,
it was just kind of crazy. I just fell in love with it, and it was, you know, luckily I had people that guided me along, you know, and could figure out kind of what I wanted to do, and I got very, very, very lucky and worked really hard at it. By the time I was coming out of school, I was mixing commercials and TV shows and stuff. No, it was awesome. So anyway, that's where I started and how I got into this business.
I love that. Is a cool. So you got into this, you know, a couple of years ago. So how has technology changed what you do for with your job, you know, from then to today? Is it better,
wow,
different, or, you know, it's probably worlds,
well,
you know, but.
It's you know, I'm not going to say it's better or worse. One of the things I don't like about the way technology has gone is that with computers and everything, I can literally do the work of, you know, what used to take 5 or 6 people. So
mm-hmm.
The community has really, really shrunk because of computers. I mean, where you used to, you know, when it was on film, you had to, you know, manually run these things through a thing so you could listen to what was on the tracks, and you could only really work on one thing at a time. Now I've got a computer that, you know, I can do, I can't remember what it is. I mean, the least I can do is 296 tracks at a time or something like that.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and, you know, it used to be that you had to have all these people do this stuff, but literally by myself, which I don't do, but literally by myself, I can go from, take it from the editor, and I can do a film by myself. One computer, no problem. I don't want to do that. I don't really like to do that. I like mm-hmm. input from. I like having a team of people that do things, you know.
Yeah.
And I enjoy having, you know, like I can literally get the stuff from an editor. I can do all the editing, put all the effects in, do all the dialogue editing, all that, and then mix it myself in one computer. If I chose to do so, you know, I mean, so that's,
do you think is
that's
this,
kind of the
do you think
bad
this,
side of it.
Do you think it's like a sound editor, one of the reasons you like doing things as a team is that, you know, do you have concern about, you know, however you edit it down, they're going to go like, oh, that's totally not what we wanted, or we really would have preferred it if it was done this way. So you kind of get the collaboration along the way so you don't, you know, present them something thinking, here's your red ribbon, and then they think it stinks.
You know, I guess maybe my ego's too big or something.
Oh.
I guess so. At some point I'm sure that comes into play. But for me,
yeah.
I always think it's like, you know, even now making a record or something, you know, I enjoy having other people's influence. I don't want to go in and,
right,
you know, it's easy to say in record terms or CD terms or musical terms, because I don't want to tell the drummer to play, you know, exactly this, or, you know, you have to play this fill here, or you have to play this here. I love seeing what the other guitar player or the bass player brings to the mix, you know. And the same thing doing a movie. I love hearing what, you know, sound designers, which is somebody that goes in and creates the really, if it's a space movie, the really cool you know, wacky sounds. Or I love hearing what a, if you're doing, say, a walking, talking movie or something like that, something that the background guy will sing, and it just, you know, that just something I wouldn't have thought about. I don't ever hear or think that they're any better, or I couldn't have done it as well. But it's really, I mean, it's, I've always been one of these kind of team guys, you know. I played football and all that stuff and sports, and I really enjoyed what other people bring to it. I don't think I'm, you know, I don't always think I'm the last word or the best word, but I'm definitely not afraid to put my work out there, that's for sure.
Sure, sure.
So, does that answer your question?
That's a great answer. That's because you've worked on over 140, I think it's 141 projects that you have on IMDb.
Right.
Can you talk about some of the, there's, I mean, 140 projects. I mean, I had to take a nap about three quarters of the way through just to get through it. But do you have any projects that you've worked on that were favorites of yours? Or, I mean, it could be for any reason, but talking about sound,
I mean,
for sound.
I mean, there's a lot of obvious ones. I mean, everybody knows Thank You for Smoking or Juno, just because it was such a, I mean, it's a strange thing to say from sound, but it was such a well-written script and a well-directed, well-acted. You know, as far as sound, I love doing some of the Rob Zombie stuff on, like, Devil's Rejects and the Halloween shows. And then, you know, going back as far as, like, Open Range or something like that, I just creating that Old West feel, and as far as sound work, getting to work with people like Kevin Costner and Rob Zombie and Jason Reitman, who's one of my favorite directors. And then recently I've been working with these guys, the Duplass brothers, who, if you have HBO right now, it's a show called Togetherness that's on HBO. We really had a blast working with them on that. And just got through doing a TV show a nice surprise was working with Katherine Heigl on the NBC show that just came out. She was as sweet as can be. I know she's got, you know, sometimes people get reputations for whatever, but she was just, she's probably one of the best ADR people I've ever worked with, and just a sweetheart, and that whole team was just great. So, I mean, I've had some awesome experiences. I mean, just awesome experiences. I've gotten to work with, like, Academy Award winner, you know, the Academy Award winner, Per Hallberg and Karen Baker Landers. And, you know, I worked with them when I first moved out here. I went to work for a company called Soundalux. And that's, you know, I learned so much from those guys, and I've still got so much respect for all the people that came through that, Wiley Stateman and people like that, who are these Academy Award winning, I mean, just amazing sound people, you know. And that's where I learned so much of what I do now and how I treat people. And I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world when it comes to some of this stuff.
And, I mean, but in all seriousness, though, you've been working pretty much nonstop since, you know, at least according to your IMDb page. I know you worked before that, but from 1985 until today. And, even today, I'm looking at your 2015 projects. You get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, you got 5 things that are in post-production right now. You've already completed a ton of stuff. And I'm going to kind of geek out on you and tell you that I love Web Therapy, and that it's like my favorite show of all time. And I love,
really?
You know,
that's,
I love Lisa. I love Tim Bagley. I mean, I love everybody that's on that show, Dan Bukatinsky. What's, now I'm asking as a fan, so what's it like working on Web Therapy? But what's it like working on Web Therapy?
Web Therapy is a totally different animal. And I mean, I love those guys. I love those guys. Lisa and Dan are two of the funniest people in the world. The director on that is just, he's just a sweetheart. We've done a couple of movies with him, and you know what? It's an interesting thing that's one of the things, that show is actually one of the things that the new technology has let us do. And by that I mean that thing started out as a web series. It was a bunch of
three to four minute
just webcast, you know, that Dan and Don and Lisa came up with. And then they started stringing them together and making complete shows out of them. And so since we'd done a couple movies with those guys, they said, do you mind, can you just do this? And we said, you know, we said, sure. It's, I mean, it was literally low, I mean, very little money, but they're friends of ours, and it didn't take that much time to do. And just a funny show. And another, you know, I'm lucky. I would rather take a little less money and work for people that are really nice and sweet and than
it,
I would.
There's a lot to be said for having a nice work atmosphere, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. So, but yeah, they're great people. You would love them.
Well, it's funny. We had Robert Michael Morris on the show that he started with Lisa on The Comeback, and he was saying, oh, my gosh, Lisa's just the best. So that would be a pleasure. And I think I've met Tim indirectly. He wouldn't know who I am if, you know, ran into anybody. But met him at TMZ or TMI Hollywood up at the stand-up show a couple of times. Just a super, super great group of folks. So, so talented. Yeah. But this is about you today. So crossing over from sound to music here, how do you balance having your very, very busy career with your role in the band Kelly's Lot?
Well, I mean, it all comes down to, you know, you make your choices and of what you want to do and what your priorities are. And for me, I mean, Kelly and I don't have children, so we've got a little time that some other people don't. And but we have, you know, music, and you play music, so you know this. I mean, I can be in the worst mood in the world, and you hand me a guitar, and I'm happy. I mean, it can turn your entire day around. And, you know, I enjoy playing for people, and if it makes them happy, that's even a more bonus.
But where do you find time? Because your schedule is so crazy.
Well, I mean, it's not any crazier than anybody else's. I mean, you know, you work the 7 or 8, 9 hours a day and then go and rehearse a little bit. And, you know, you got the weekends to go. We mostly do all our stuff on the weekends. And then I have my own company. So I am able to, I trust my guys. So if I need to leave, they can cover for me. And so I, like I said, I'm lucky. I've put together, I don't know, anything I never tell anybody is to always surround yourself with really good people. So I've got great people that work with me at our company. And, you know, the guys in the band are, you know, they have jobs too. So we all just, you know, it's a balancing act for Kelly as much as anything. But
sure.
She, you know, she has to ask me first if we can, you know, if I can get off to go do a gig. And, you know, if I have to, I'll go into work early and get off and go play a gig. And there's a lot of days I'm tired when I get up and go to work. But to me, it's worth it, you know. To me, it's really, really worth it. And I think anybody that plays music understands that. And now I've got, you know, the sound designer I work with all the time, Scott Sanders. He's, you know, even though he's got a son and he actually goes to baseball practice, he's in a band now, so we kind of make sure our schedule is balanced between
us. Oh, my gosh. he definitely doesn't sleep. Oh, my gosh.
And then, you know, I got Kevin Zimmerman, who's just an amazing guy. But one of the things we kind of set up when we set up our company, Ear Candy, was we wanted to make sure that we could do stuff like that. You know, mine at the time was I really wanted to be able to play some music. For Scott, he wanted to make sure he could go to his son's baseball games, and Kevin, make sure he could go to his daughter's volleyball games and all that kind of stuff. And so we've just made a conscious effort to say, you know, just so the work gets done, we'll be fine. And
yeah.
then let's have some time for life. And so my life is playing some music and working a little bit, you know, or working
man,
a lot.
I love that. yeah, you're working a lot, that's for sure. Okay. As a sound guy, and I need to, and this comes from somebody who used to have, you know, thinking that he'd buy the biggest speakers, and if I cranked up the music loud enough, and, you know, the neighbors would never care, you know, they did. And now I'm at the point where I don't have the crazy speakers, I don't have the huge sound systems, you know, I've got my iMac, I've got my, you know, the stereo in the car, that type of thing. But I don't have the big system that I used to with the surround sound and the 80-million-inch TV and all of that. How do you feel as a sound person that you spend all of that time and effort making sure that you hear every piece of gravel that stepped on and every close of the door and every gush of the wind and every everything when the sound is coming out of somebody's computer that, you know, is probably maybe even on their telephone?
Right. It's one. I don't mind. I mean, we do when we're done with the big 5-1 or 7-1 or Atmos mix or whatever we're doing. We always crash it down to a 2-track and make sure that sounds good. So we're always thinking of the people that watch it on TV or the people that watch it on their computer. You know, my big thing is I want people to watch the movies and enjoy them, whatever, however they want to watch them. You know, I don't know why. I mean, I really don't understand watching them on a phone, but that's just me.
Right.
You know, that's my generation. But
so what do you guys have at home? What's your setup like?
Oh, it's
is it sick?
It's pretty bad. You know. But this only happened a couple of years ago, you know, when I could afford it. You know, I got a 56-inch flat screen and a Yamaha receiver, and I don't even remember what the names of the speakers are and stuff. But I just, you know, I wanted it just so I could listen to some of my stuff at home just to see how it translated at home, how it was broadcasting or how it was playing back on Showtime or HBO, or if we had DVDs, we could check them out that way. I love watching movies. I'm as big a fan as anybody out there. I love movies. And so, you know, having a sound system so that I can hear what my stuff is coming across, make sure it's all, you know, we're doing the right thing. But then I also enjoy listening to what other people do. Again,
sure.
Not in a competitive way. You know, I don't ever think of it as competition, but I want to see when you're at the level that I've been so fortunate to get to. I love hearing what the other people that we feel are at our level are doing. You know, I want to know what, and I almost get mad sometimes when I hear something that somebody did, and that's Explosion 101. Or that's Explosion 102. I know, you know, I know that stuff. And it's like, really? Come on, guys, you just got lazy. You know, and that's, to me, I'm like, no. And I'm sure people pick that stuff out of my stuff, too.
Oh, sure.
But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But, you know, it's not a competition thing. I just always want it. I want to be the best that I can be at it. And I think if you're not listening to what other people are doing, then you're not keeping up.
Right.
With
right.
what you need to keep it up with, you know.
Now, are you involved in?
You know, go ahead.
Are you involved in any type of technology development for like the home theater market or any of that type of stuff, or do you just leave that to the manufacturers?
I leave that to the guys that know what they're doing.
Okay.
I was talking to somebody last night and they was cracking up, and he's telling me, "Oh man, here's what I did to my guitar and." You know, I got this where it flips out of phase and it does this. And I said, "How do you know how to do that?" And he said, "I don't. I just know how to solder wires." I'm like, "Oh, okay. That's cool. That's a great answer right there. I just know how to solder wires." I can solder wires, but I'm not the type of person that's going to. I don't have the drive to go in and manufacture something. You know, if somebody comes to me and asks me my opinion on something, you know, I'll be glad to input, but I would not have the patience to sit down and design something like that, and I don't have the brain to do that. So.
Okay, well, but you know, you've got a good ear, so you know what to go by. So that's I'm coming to you when I build the empire and get ready for my
you know
10 million inch screen. So, okay, a couple last questions for you. Do you have a favorite project that you've ever worked on?
Oh wow, I think it's always the one I'm working on at the time, and that's a I know it's kind of a cop out, but I have. I know it's dead air for radio.
That's a fine answer, you know, because probably as an artist, what you resonate with.
Well, I like working on the projects that I'm working on at the time, and it's always a different show. It's always a different project. It's always a different hurdle to get over to make it the best that it can be, you know, and I enjoy those challenges. So, I mean, I think my favorite, I guess if I had a favorite of all the ones I've ever done, it would have to be Open Range, because that's what we started our company with. And it was just it was a great experience. Any of the Jason Reitman's movies, because one of my favorite editors works with Dana Gloverman. I get to work with her, and but you know what? I have been so lucky, and worked so hard to get to where I am that I enjoy working with good people, and I'm lucky because it's a great job. It's a lot of fun. I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
That's good. So, in today's world, given you know technology or the people that you work with, all of that, what is your biggest challenge that you face day in and day out?
A lot of times, although it's kind of settled down now, but a lot of times it's keeping up with the technology. You know, as soon as you learn a piece of software, there's a new one out there that does it better and bigger, and and the other challenge these days is, like I was saying a while ago, because the business has become so small, there are a lot more people vying for the jobs, so it seems as though the competition for the jobs has gotten harder and harder, which is you know, that's kind of a bummer. The economy has caused the economy, and one of the other bad things that we were talking about a little while ago with the advent of technology is, like I said, you know, you can do so much with one person that that producers now expect a lot more for a lot less. So you just have to kind of adapt and move on, but it's just you don't get the time that you used to have to do the project the way you want to do it.
So I'm going to have two more questions, and I promise to let you go because you need to get on with your weekend. But how do you find work? I mean, does work just like fall into your lap all the time? I would assume that it does because your schedule is so busy all the time. But I mean, it's not like you go and read the want ads and look for a sound engineer type of a job, I would guess.
Well, sometimes you do. I mean, it's not exactly want ads, but I'm always watching the trades, whether it's Variety or Deadline.com or whatever, and seeing if there are people that I know doing projects, you know, that I can contact them about. I mean, I am lucky because I do have a lot of stuff come to me, but that doesn't always keep me as busy as I need to be.
Sure.
Personally, I would be busy enough, but having people working for me, I need to keep projects going all the time.
Yep.
And I'm always, and I, you know, I will, like I say, watch the trades, and I will talk to people. I will, if there's somebody that I know knows a person, then I will call my friend and say, hey, can you put in a good word for me over there, and, or something like that, and hopefully it comes along, you know. It seems
Do you have a lot of people, Perry, that say, you know, I've worked with Perry before, Perry's just my sound guy, you know, and they just kind of like drag you along from project to project, you know, with a smile?
Yes, I do have, I have some people like that. Like Jason Reitman so far has been, I've done all of his movies. That would be Thank You for Smoking, Juno, Up in the Air, and, you know, two or three others. And then he has turned us on to a few other people, like the Duplass brothers.
Nice.
The guys that, so we work with them. We were doing all of Rob Zombie's stuff, and then, you know, he got on a movie that the producer wouldn't let him, unfortunately, have enough money. And I hate to ever be a, I don't want to be a, at all, a money monger or anything like that, but, you know, there's a certain point that you have to say, no, I can't do it for that much. I can't work for free, you know.
Right, right.
And, so, but, and then, you know, Don Roos and the guys from Elise Kudrow and those guys, we've done pretty much everything they've done for the last few years. So, yeah, we get lucky.
That has
guys,
to work out great for both you and them, because it's like, you know, we got Perry. He's the best. We don't have to worry about it. Just, you know, tell him the day we need him and make it happen, because then we can worry about everything else.
Right. Well, that's what a lot of them do. And, you know, and then, you know, that's kind of hard for me, too, because there's a lot of people that, oh, we want Pear or Karen or Mark Steckinger or all these guys. And I'm like, oh, okay, I understand. They're really great.
Because you get it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Last question.
You bet.
Last question, Perry, and I promise. I'm going to, because otherwise I can just tell, because I'm going like, I will keep Perry all afternoon, and Kelly's going to go like, get him off the phone. But I am going to tell you, we're going to end with some Kelly's Lot music. So, last question of the day. If you had, if you could go back and tell your younger self, you know, 30 years ago, you know, what would be some advice that you'd give to yourself looking at a, at the career that you've made for yourself today?
Oh, man. Well, don't be so conceited.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a valuable life lesson. Okay.
That happened a long time ago. I everybody has their stories, but I, you know, I got a little bit too big for my britches, and when I was in Dallas and decided to go freelance and ended up losing, you know, typical what 25-year-old can lose, a Corvette,
sure,
and a Harley, and a house.
Oh!
But, you know, I've learned my lessons, and yeah, the only other thing I might have said to myself was get to California earlier. But other than that, I just kind of take life as it is. I enjoy the people that I've gotten to work with. Some of the experiences I didn't think were going to be so great have turned out to be wonderful, and learn a ton. When, like I said, when I went broke years ago, I ended up kind of leaving the film industry and went into doing live television, live sports, and stuff like that. Made a lot of good friends there. But, you know, everybody thinks, oh, wow, that's really different. Or why would you like that so much? And I enjoyed doing the sports, because I like the sports. But
sure.
B, it taught me so much technically about signal flow and how to get things done and to do stuff and move on and not look back and think, oh, I could have done it that way or I could have done it differently. Or because when you're doing a live television show, you're going along, and if you start thinking about the mistake you made, you're going to make two more. Because you're thinking about something back there. So you got to keep moving and keep going. And so, you can always give yourself advice from way back. But that's about the only thing I would ever say to myself.
Yeah, I love
keep taking guitar lessons. Keep taking guitar lessons. guitar lessons.
Yeah, keep, don't stop. Keep taking guitar lessons. Yeah. There we go.
Don't put the guitars in the closet. Don't do it.
Yeah. Because it's easy to do. You know, the next thing you know, years passed and you're rusty and you don't even know, you know, the front to the back. So.
Oh,
but,
no.
Everybody, it's been Perry Robertson. Gosh, what a huge treat this is. And, you know, you've seen his movies all over the place. He's the guy that makes all of your movies and TV sound good. Huge treat to have him here. I'm going to play some Kelly's Lot. Of course, this is, you know, Perry and Kelly's band that they tour all over Southern California and all over Europe every year. They are all over the place. So if you get a chance to go hear their music, please go do that. I'll have the show links on the page to go buy their music. Buy it from Kelly's Lot website because Kelly will autograph it and send it directly to you, won't she, Perry?
She will. She absolutely will.
Okay, cool. So everybody, we'll be right back after this song by Kelly's Lot called Why Don't We?
Been listening to Rated G Radio.